Okay, we'll go ahead and call the Common Council meeting to order. It is Tuesday, April 14th at 7:07 p.m. Let's stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Wiegold, absent. Warwick,
present.
Romine,
here.
Penrod, here. Simpson, absent.
In front of you are the meeting minutes from our last meeting on March 24th. Were there any changes or corrections? Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve?
Make a motion to approve the minutes as presented.
Second.
Motion by Ben, seconded by Jackie. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous of those present. First up is ordinance number 2015-12. Can I have a motion to read by title only?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Motion and second. Motion by Ben, seconded by Nicole. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. Unanimous of those present. Please read ordinance number 2015-12, which I think is what you're going to say.
Ordinance number 2015-12.
Okay. That was real descriptive.
Yeah.
So, ordinance number 2015-12 is regarding the petition for vacation of the alleyway. It was petitioned by Vern and Dana LaRue, and they have talked to us. We actually had a public hearing, and there was a lot of pretty decent discussion about the vacation of that alley. Public hearing was on December 30th. So I know that one thing that you had said at that point, council members, is you had said, let's continue to move this forward, continue to have discussion. So this is that point of moving forward where we're kind of at a point where we need to have a decision made on whether or not we want to move forward with it. That would be if I remember correctly, it would be a two-reading ordinance like normal, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I will say that the notice was put in the paper. He has contacted all the surrounding property owners, and he had Marcia review the ordinance. And he said he could not be here tonight, but he gave me his phone number if he had any questions. He said he'd be glad to get on speakerphone or come to the next one.
Okay. So, what are your thoughts and opinions on this? I know one of the questions that came up was about fire safety. I don't remember who brought it up. Was about fire safety. I did talk to Chief LaRue. He didn't see that there would be any issues there. That was the only question that I remembered that came up.
I think there was one about giving city property away, mm-hmm. basically. Mm-hmm. And I called a couple of different places today, and the last place I called gave me answers. And basically, there's no real value to it, to the city, but if we vacate it and it becomes part of their property, then they will reassess and they'll pay taxes on that part.
Okay. So really the only value would have been the stone that we put down, mm-hmm. The improvements we've made on that.
Right. But we get a little increase in taxes.
Yeah. Well, very much like Langlo Park or, North Street Garden or places like that.
So in this case, what makes this property different than Langlo Park or North Street, where those individuals bought the property from the city?
I think it's a fair question.
I asked if there was a value to it, like if we would ask to for a price for them to buy it from us. They said there's really no value to it.
So I think the difference would be, I mean, I'm totally speaking out of turn here, but I would say that the difference would be is, you're talking bare, grassy, recreational land, I guess, versus gravel, stone, drive area. Difference would probably be size more than anything else, but even then you're not talking about a great difference. So, and actually with Langlo Park, we've been working with a property owner just recently, but the purchase price was not very high. I mean, very minuscule. But in the long run, for that purpose, in the long run, the park department, I'll get with you in a second, but the park department in that regard doesn't have the upkeep and maintenance, so in that way, it's a win for us. But I don't know if that answers the question. Mike?
Even if we vacate it, they have to know that they can't build on it because we got a water main.
Yes, there is a clause in this ordinance that says, whereas the City of Columbia City maintains underground water lines in the public way, to be vacated an easement for such, an easement for which shall be preserved pursuant to Indiana Code 36 dash blah, 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 blah. So, yes, it's notified, it's a part of this, and will be documented before property transfer, if that were to occur.
And I don't think they were talking about building on it. I think they were adding a garage or something, and we'd be too close to it or something. Is that?
Well,
he originally wanted to add to it, but we told him he couldn't because of the water line. So he still wanted it because he owns the land on the other
side. On the other side, right.
So he could build over there if he wanted.
And he could. And I think the other thing we talked about was he can block it off so that he doesn't have.
Yeah.
I can't imagine there's that much traffic that goes through there, but he can block it off so that he, you know, they can traverse that area without having to worry about a car coming down or whatever.
And then I think he talked about blocking it off, but making it accessible to the city for the water main or something like
mm-hmm.
making it something that's open.
Yeah, I mean, you can't build anything
mm-hmm.
on it, mm-hmm. but he could put up a gate or he could put up.
Yeah,
I mean.
That's, yeah.
So has he indicated how he was going to block off the entrance from the road? I mean, that was another question that had come up.
Well, I think that's when he was talking about putting some kind of fence with a gate or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but do we know what he's going to do?
I don't think he had decided, but like he said, he'll be here at the next one if you want to.
If we vote to pass it this time on first reading,
mm-hmm.
then we can change our minds on second
Certainly.
Reading.
Absolutely.
Right. Okay.
Absolutely.
And he said he would be here to talk to you guys for the next
mm-hmm. one. The reason for two readings really is for between the first and the second reading, if more information has came to light or different discussions have happened. I mean, that's what the intent is. I'm sorry, Jackie.
That's right. Well, what's the precedent that we're setting here?
That's a good question. Is there a precedent being set?
That's my question. Is
mm-hmm.
there a precedent being set?
I mean, what determines when we just, I mean, what's stopping from, say, somebody on Oak Street wanting an alley vacated?
Well,
I mean, if we agree to do theirs,
right.
I mean,
well,
what is our reason, you know, I mean.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask, I'll ask a question of Rosie, because, you know, that's what politicians do. They ask a question, not a question.
I just keep going on.
Yeah, see, that's right. But Rosie, have we vacated? I'm assuming we've vacated alleys before.
But normally they're not used.
They're not used alleys. Okay. Okay.
But this one is shorter than one that may be on Oak Street.
Certainly.
And it's not used as much as one that may be on Oak Street. And the fire department doesn't need it to put out fires as they might need it on Oak Street. I mean, I think you have to go case by case and see what the use of the alley and, you know, what it's for. I just think it's like anything, you have to go pick case by case.
And I think his main theory was there is nobody that uses it because there's nothing there.
Mm-hmm.
There's
nothing to get
to. The land next
to
it, it's there.
And there's nothing really to get to
now behind it. So, and he's not going all the way through. He's just going halfway. So
mm-hmm.
it's not like a normal, they keep the whole alley and people walk down or
Mm-hmm. So if they're only doing half of it, then does that still mean we have to plow the other half of it?
I would say yeah.
How do you do that? You go in there and just back in and plow it out, or you can't go all the way through, right?
Probably go L shape, right? You
yeah.
go in from Madison or go ahead.
I like Jackie's comment about the precedent setting on it. I mean, where do you stop and start that? Even though it's a half an alley, I mean, there's a lot of people that would join up and try to do the same thing to their alley. I mean, the plowing, yeah, to the south end of it, we'd just have to come in off of Madison Street and make the turn and go to Market. But it would still have to be plowed.
even though it's quote unquote not used for anything.
Right.
You still have to plow.
Well, yeah, I mean, they still have to plow it now. Yeah.
Meaning it, with that last half, it's not going to be
right.
accessible to
yeah.
anybody.
But if you had a bunch of people doing that, it would be a nightmare to try to figure out which ones you go down, and now it's pretty much a straight shot through them, you know.
When you say you want half of it, but you're not talking about, I'm trying to picture it. Is it going to go back to another street or another alley?
Alley.
The part that he wants?
Yes.
Yeah.
It'll
so
go from Van Buren
like
back to another alley.
Okay. So you don't have to, like, go do half of up to
no.
his fence or whatever.
No, but the from that east-west alley
mm-hmm.
to the south to
right.
Ellsworth
Market.
Street.
Okay.
No, Market, you're
Market.
Right. Market.
Okay.
Yeah, that would have to be. Mm-hmm.
And I believe, doesn't the east-west alley stop at that alley?
Yeah.
It doesn't even go all the way through.
Right.
Because there's nothing back there.
Right.
Well, I mean, one option you could do, of course, is you could table it as an option until you get your other two council members here. You could certainly pass it, take it on to a second reading, and then debate it again. At the next meeting, if you kill it now, then it will not come for a second reading. So those are kind of your three options on the table.
I would like to table it too. We have more people here.
Table?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Table? Ben, you okay with that?
So
okay.
And I don't
motion, or we just agree?
You can just agree to table
okay.
it. I don't think you have to have a formal motion.
And I don't know if there's any way to say, you know, this is. You know, formalize this is why we're vacating this one.
This is the special circumstances that allow this
to allow for it. So if someone 6 months from now decides they want their alley vacated, we can say this is why.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's real important that he come next time.
Okay. And I think he's planning on it, right, Rosie?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Okay. Then we will consider that ordinance tabled. Okay, can I have a motion to read? Nope, that's not what I wanted to do. I have a motion to read ordinance number 2015. Is that 13? Yeah, okay.
Yes.
2015-13 by title only.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Nicole, seconded by Ben. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show up by the usual sign. It's unanimous of those present. Please read ordinance number 2015-13 by title only.
Ordinance 2015-13, an ordinance amending the City of Columbia City salary ordinance for 2015.
Okay, so where this is coming from is really has to do with some different some discussions that came out of a recent hire in the telecommunications department, but it really expanded to public safety in general. And I'll invite Tim or Rosie or Beth that's here, either of the three, to comment as I go through this if I'm missing something. But as you can see in the ordinance, in our current ordinance right now, there is a probationary rate for police and fire for their first year. It's at about, is it about $14,000 less than a regular fire or police officer or firefighter?
Yes.
Well, for a police officer.
Yeah, just a little over 14,000.
Yeah. And I think it's probably close to that for firefighters as well, right?
Same.
Is it the same? Okay. And there was discussion from both Chief LaRue as well as Chief Longenball regarding that big difference. And continuing to be able to attract talent from other places or from where it's at right now, people having to take a job at $14,000 less than 1 year from then, which they'll be making what the other police officers make. There was also some discussion regarding how the probation status of an employee is tied or not tied to a first-year employee and the wage scale that's incorporated there. So in the ordinance here, we have really kind of four changes, the first being in the communication section that we remove the title probationary pay and instead give a range for those telecommunicators. So as we try to attract individuals to that job, based on their years of service, based on their years of experience, based on, you know, obviously their training time and how long it takes for them to become on their own, those kind of things that give a range for the telecommunicators, take out the probationary rate and just have a range from the original starting spot, 32,000, up to 43. This came because, I want to make sure I'm not giving away too much information, but a recent hire that we had experience in another department and had been a part-time telecommunicator for us. And in order for him to be able to take the full-time job that was available, he didn't want to be knocked all the way back down and have to work his way back up to where he was currently being paid. Yet this was a better place for him, and frankly, it's good for us because the training is shortened, and he knows the system. So I think giving the superintendent and the human resource director the ability to judge that based on years of experience and stuff, I think makes sense. And then for the other two, it's kind of the same type of situation. If we get an individual, firefighter or patrolman, who is coming from, let's say, Huntington or Warsaw or Fort Wayne or wherever, has 3 or 4 years worth of experience, doesn't have to be put through the academy, doesn't have to go through a full-time officer position or training, but has to have a small amount of training to, you know, get acquainted to what we do. The range, I think, is what's important, so that we can offer. We can be competitive in offering a wage that's reflective of the years that they have or not in that case. So from that perspective, is there anything I didn't cover?
I don't think so.
Rosie?
The only thing is, like, and I don't think you mentioned this, but like Civil City, which includes communication, their probation 6 months, but the law requires police and fire to be a year. So that's why there is no year up there on the change.
I didn't.
In case they wonder.
Yeah. Okay. Beth, do you have anything? No? Okay. So do you have any questions of that? We kind of felt like that was some pretty common sense changes. And financially, we don't believe it's going to affect any of the budgets financially or put us in a spot, let's say it that way. There'll have to be some changes, but overall, there shouldn't be any, it shouldn't put anybody in a difficult position.
So is the top of this range still less than?
Yeah.
Current full-time guys that have been on for a while? I'm
trying to remember. I think it is lower.
It is lower.
Yeah, I think it is lower than the what the normal 1 year plus guys are. Yeah, okay. Guys or gals. Yeah.
Is the top number 42 or 43?
43.
43,
yeah.
So it would still be about $3,000 less at the top end of the range.
Than what a full-time patrolman who's been here for more than a year would get paid. You have other questions I can try to answer for you?
Like I said, basically, you're giving the department heads the discretion on what they offer, whoever they hire.
That's correct.
So rather than being a flat $36,000, take it or leave it, based on their experience, you can offer them from this to this.
Right. And keep in mind that when a pay rate is offered, that has to be approved by myself as well as the clerk treasurer. Mm-hmm. I think human resources have to approve it too.
I don't know.
I don't think so. No. But in any case, so there's another two checks besides just police chief saying, hey, everybody gets 43. which, you know, again, as I expressed to the department heads, I said I don't expect very, very many of our new individuals are going to be making the top of that range. They better have a lot of experience and take very little training, you know, to be at the top of that range. So I think we were in agreement for that. So I know we were.
Okay.
Any other questions?
That's just their wage. That's not their benefits.
No, that's just the wage. That's just the wage.
I'll make a motion. We approve ordinance 2015-13 on first reading.
Second.
Motion by Ben, seconded by Jackie. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous of those present. Thank you very much. We'll move that to second reading. Okay. Next up, I believe, we have the Drug and Alcohol Abuse Program. I'll invite Beth Igney, our Human Resources Director, to come up to the microphone and give kind of a little bit of a presentation on where I think we're moving regarding the drug and alcohol policy.
Good afternoon. I would direct your attention to your Dropbox. There should be two items for you to have looked at if you have some time. One you'll see is an article from Popular Government, and it talks about safety versus privacy. When may a public employer require a drug test? That should be in there. And then also you should have the revised program for the drug and alcohol abuse program for the city of Columbia City. I think the article was very self-explanatory, and how this all came up was a conference that I attended through IMPACT, which is through IACS, a subsidiary, affiliate. And they had a legal team that was talking about drug testing in the public sector. They referred us to this article and then had some court cases that they also talked about. So that kind of prompted us to take another look at our program. Marcia and I have been kind of going through the employee handbook anyway, so we kind of have been working on this one and also made a few other revisions. So in the policy, you'll see strikeouts for the changes that we want to delete, and then you'll see in the red the additions. So really how this got started was, if you look at that article, I really liked how they set that out in the first page and thought it was a good explanation about where it says basic rules, and that three basic rules govern drug testing of public employees. So it's a little different than the private sector, and it was really informational, especially for me to gain this information last December when they went through this for us. On that same page, you'll see the next section talks about special needs of public employers, and it talks a lot about the Fourth Amendment and the Constitution and how this all works into that. So I really liked how it laid it out and talked specifically about random drug testing. So that's how this got started. But then we took a look at the other portions, pre-employment drug testing, reasonable suspicion, and just kind of went through our policy. So that's kind of what we did. I don't know if you have any questions per se at this point, or if you need me to highlight certain things. I'm open to whatever you'd like me to do.
Well, I think one of the paragraphs that really sums it up, I'm going to read it really quickly,
sure,
but I think it sums up very well as to where we're trying to get to.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the intent of city government to intrude into the private lives of our employees, but we do expect employees to report to work in a condition that enables them to perform their duties without injury to themselves or their fellow employees. An employee who is involved with drug or alcohol off the job can have a negative input on performing his or her job. I think where we're trying to move here is as close to zero tolerance as we can get.
Mm-hmm.
I think what that's really critical in a couple of ways. I think number one, I don't think we want anybody in our organization to be hurt by another individual who's impaired. Number two, I don't think we want to hurt anybody else, any of our citizens, any of our contractors, anybody else, because of an impaired employee. And finally, I don't think the city wants to take the risk of having an employee who has a drug or alcohol problem, and because our standards are too high, for lack of better words, we kind of sweep it under the rug, which is why we've moved more toward this basically zero tolerance type of policy. And I'm, as you can tell, I'm very supportive of the movement. But as she said, Beth is here to answer your questions.
How do you see this being enforced with volunteers? I mean, they don't have scheduled shifts.
No, they do not. They would still be under this program, especially if they're starting with us. Then they would go through the pre-employment because they do receive a stipend of some sort, correct?
Yeah.
So, and then for the random, they would be, their names would be on the list, added to the list, and then I would call them and set up the appointment to have them go, as long as they're an active role member for the volunteer.
But when would they go? When, I mean, they just go whenever they get their names called, whether they're working or not. Because they're volunteers, they aren't
right.
working.
Right, correct. What we would do, we have Midwest Toxicology is the one that does that for us now. And it's an outside contractor, so it's not, you know, in our city here. But they do come with their trailer, and it's a couple times a year. And so they pull the names for me. I have nothing to do with pulling the names. So at that time, what we do now is if an employee is not here and their name comes up, then I contact them the next day and have them go. So it'd be the same thing.
So a volunteer would just go on their next, whenever they get called?
Yes.
Okay, so they would do that before they start their shift?
Or that it would be actually, I would have them go if they could that next day even.
Obviously the underlying concern is that the volunteers, just as much as the full-timers, drive the big thousands of pounds of vehicles down the road. And I think this was an area that we kind of struggled with a little bit as to, you know, do we include them, do we not include them, how do we include them to make it, you know, justifiable and fair and make sure that we're protecting people and all that kind of stuff. So I know that between Marcia and Beth, they've really tried to find the best way to do this.
I want to say I'm all for zero tolerance. I really am. Mm-hmm. But if their name gets pulled, then they go that day or the next day, but they're not on duty at all, then how does that help?
If they went for a test and they had alcohol in their system, but they weren't on a run,
and
they weren't on a scene.
They might not be on one for 3 days.
Mm-hmm. Are we going to discipline them for doing something off?
Yeah.
I mean, they weren't even on...
Right. And that could be something that we can look at, too, further as to how we would handle that specifically.
Because the only way you're going to get them on the scene is if you random test them when they're on a fire scene or a wreck or med run.
Yeah.
Or
That's possible because sometimes if an employee's on a vacation, like for a week, then I don't get them tested till that next week. They still don't know, so it's random.
Yeah.
I'm the only one that would know from Midwest Toxicology. But we could do the same thing with them. That would be certainly workable.
Okay.
Yes.
I think the only time the alcohol probably would come into effect is if you were on a scene and the chief or someone said, you know what, I smell alcohol on this volunteer, then he could request that.
Right.
I mean, and that wouldn't be random though.
Yeah.
Right.
Well,
yeah,
but it says if you suspect. To me, otherwise, I think probably the main thing that she would be getting them tested for was drugs.
Okay.
Because I agree that alcohol wouldn't, you'd have never known.
I mean, if
they
they're over 21, they're entitled.
Right.
If they want
it's
to.
Legal.
But the drugs,
yeah.
I think, is more her concern, is the drugs.
Okay.
And maybe this goes to a bigger discussion about, you know, the fact that our volunteers can be called in at 10 o'clock at night, 10 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock at night, I mean, 2 o'clock in the morning. It can go at all times during the day, but, I think that the purpose of this, I'm open to changes if you guys have interest in changes, and I think Beth too.
Like
but
Tom's opinion.
Yeah. Well, and I'm trying to remember. I know Tom has had some discussions about that. In fact, I think it may have even been...
It kind of originated from
Originated from Tom saying, well, it's a tough one because we don't want volunteers showing up to the scene after they've had a couple of beers, you know, because it's 10 o'clock at night. At the same time, though, I don't know. There's a balancing act that we have to try to find.
Can volunteers make that choice?
Oh,
like
certainly.
If they know they've been out...
Well, we hope that they don't come to the scene if they've had a couple of beers. Yeah.
Well,
go ahead.
I don't want to speak for Tom, but I will say for our policy, it states in our police department policy that you can't show up and be on duty, whether you're full-time or reserve, if you've had a drink in the past 12 hours. So Tom may have a similar policy. I don't know if he does or not, but
I don't know if there's a policy for volunteer firefighters or Ben. You may know, but I don't know.
I know there is for the full time, so I don't know that that's ever. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know what the hours are.
Sure.
And I want to say, you know, because I used to do this before, Beth. I know you're really talking a lot about the volunteers. As long as I ever did it, never have we had a problem with any volunteers.
Yeah.
So I don't want people to think.
No, I understand that.
Yeah.
But I think with the way this is written and as strict as it is, mm-hmm. if someone has a drink in the afternoon, they're not going to go on a run.
Right.
So,
and
at 10 o'clock at night.
Too many people choosing not to go. Is.
Well, but I guess my question would be is, do we want, if they've had a drink in the afternoon, do we want them to go on a run?
Well, if they had one beer at 2 o'clock in the afternoon by 11
then
o'clock,
it
should be through their system.
Right.
But 0.02 is a pretty low limit.
That's true. That's true. I don't know. Tim, do you have a...
Beth has a chart.
Yeah, sure.
There's a chart that gives you an idea about how tall you are, how much you weigh, and then how much you can consume.
Yep.
And it'll have a chart that'll tell you what your approximate level would be. So if you look at that, it'll give you an idea on where they would be.
And Beth, you're not asking for a vote tonight, are you? I mean, you'd like to have a vote.
I would.
But it's not, I mean, it's something that...
would be helpful, but...
Yeah, I gotcha.
Because we also have, this includes part-time people. So it's everybody in the city, basically.
And with all the hiring,
and with
the
seasonal
park department
coming on. So.
And it's just people that are in safety issue type.
That's for the random. Free employment, if you look at the article, we can still do everybody.
Okay.
That's still constitutionally okay.
Or if you suspect someone is.
Yeah.
Or suspect.
On the job.
Those we can, yes. Mm-hmm.
There's about 40 part-time park employees
mm-hmm.
that...
would be involved
in that. So then it would depend
on how long he was
at. Thank you.
I mean, I understand what you're trying to get at, but I think
so.
Some clarification needs done there.
Okay, so what would be the suggestion then to... So are you saying that we would still be okay with having the drug test for all the volunteer firefighters?
I don't have a problem with the drug
but
test.
But, okay, you don't have a problem with that. So the alcohol part is really where the question comes.
Because that is legal. I mean...
To have a drink.
It's legal to have a drink.
Absolutely, yeah.
I think what he's saying is the 0.02 is really low.
It is really low. But for volunteers is what you're saying specifically. I mean,
yeah, but I don't know if you could change it.
I don't know how you can make an exception for them. I'm just saying I think it's going to create a problem mm-hmm. that anybody that's had a drink during the day won't go to a run
mm-hmm.
because they're threatened with being discharged.
Mm-hmm.
Because one drink for a 240-pound guy is
0.02.
Mm-hmm. Now, but it doesn't say how long.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like, if he has that drink, how long should he wait?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I wish Tom were here because I know we've had this discussion. And he's pretty
versed.
Yeah, he's pretty black and
open
white.
Open on this. Yeah, he's black and white.
You know? And again, though, I don't know if the volunteers have a policy, though. I mean, if they don't, they should. But
mm-hmm.
there's some policy. I just don't recall it being a number of hours.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I know he's always said they don't go on around if they've had a drink.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, how long?
Yeah.
And that's what I don't know.
Right.
I do know there's one other possible change, and it goes to Tim.
Hmm.
We were talking about, and if you have that in front of you there, Tim.
40 minutes or down.
It's number towards the end. We were talking about language that you had asked about towards the end, like the third page from the back. There's number 456.
Beth, can I interrupt you for 2 seconds?
Sure.
On this chart, just FYI, if you look down here, consistent drag 0.01% for each 40 minutes of drinking.
Okay. I didn't see
so
that.
For a 240 pound one drink after 80 minutes, he'd be clear.
Okay.
But just to give you some comparison.
Okay. I was going to say, it should say the bottom kind of.
It does. I think
should have the burn off rate.
Like burn off rate.
Yeah.
I didn't see it.
I want to make it clear because of our audience. Drinking is not allowed for anybody under the age of 21. Just make that very clear.
And we're not advocating
for that. Right, and we're not advocating for that. It's a very important policy, though, for our employees, and obviously we wouldn't be discussing it this much if it wasn't a big deal.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
It's number 5. We were talking about whether you wanted that departmental rules and regulations added back in.
Yes, I think that I would want it back in.
Which one is that?
It's like the third page from the back, and there's like 4, 5, and 6. It says number 4, 5, and 6. Right above payments of cost. Mm-hmm. Number 5 is all disciplinary action for police and fire employees will be administered in accordance with, and departmental rules and regulations is crossed out, and Tim had indicated that he'd like to have that put back in.
I would prefer that be put back in, too.
Okay.
And we've had a couple alcohol issues, and our review board's dealt with them internally.
Okay.
I mean, not on the scene, but...
Mm-hmm. And the reason I asked for that is because part of our policy talks about being fit for duty, and in my opinion, if you're on duty and you have alcohol in your system, you're not fit for duty. So I'd like to have that included, that we could use that as a possible violation.
So is the general sense of the council that we... like the majority of this policy, that there's still questions regarding the alcohol testing of volunteer firefighters. Is that really the only place we have an issue with? In general, yes?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And I apologize that Tom is not here. He had a meeting with the 4-H board regarding the concert and all that stuff and preparing for that. So that's why he's not here tonight.
But again, we can vote on this tonight because it's 2 votes, right?
Well, policies, not necessarily.
Not necessarily.
You could move it. You can move it to a two-part vote, I think. Marcia, they can move this to the policy to a two vote, to a first and a second reading.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do that.
But the problem is, if we vote on it tonight, I mean, I guess I feel like we might as well vote on it tonight, and then if there's a make a revision regarding the.
I just want some clarification.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so here's what I think I'd like to do. I would like to get at least a first vote tonight, but what I'd also like to do is, Beth, I'd like to have you contact Ben and see if there's ways in which we can clarify the issues that he has and if there's other places that we need to kind of clarify. I'd be more than happy to help with that, but I'd like for the two of you to connect because I think that it...
Because I know as a review board, we're going to have to go back and relay this to the rest of the department so everybody understands what the policy is and how it is going to be enforced.
Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, Ben can check and see if there is a policy
the
paid people have.
Yeah.
I mean,
yes.
Just so you know, I mean, I have 40 part-time employees for the summer, and I'm all for it. I think it's great, but the difficulty for me is that if I have to drug test all 40 of them at $30 a person, then that's $1,200 that I really don't have right now. I'm not sure how that would work if I just do part of them or all of them.
Do we have, so they would come on as part-time just for this summer? So does everybody get tested when they come on?
Yes.
Yeah, you really can't say.
Yeah.
You can be tested, but you're don't. Yeah. Sorry, you don't.
How many of those have you already employed? How many of your part
years?
No, this year. How many are already under? How many have already been accepted as employees?
Oh, 20.
Okay, so half.
Yeah.
So half of them at this point. I mean, because the policy hasn't passed, still going to a second reading. So I would say for this year, I mean, I do agree with Beth in this regard that if they're employees of the city, whether they're summer staff, winter staff, full-time staff, part-time staff, they need to be tested for drug and alcohol. So especially, even past the employment, the pre-employment, I mean, I think definitely if we're seeing that there's an issue on the work, on the job site, I think that has to happen. So,
is there an option anywhere else in the budget that could maybe help with this, since he's got kind of an unusual...
Mark's always asking for money.
Oh, is he?
I think we've cut Mark so low.
Oh, okay.
No, I think there's we can find a place in Jeff's budget or somewhere. So, yeah.
Jeff's budget.
Stormwater.
Yeah.
No, I think we can find a budgetary place somewhere.
Okay.
But.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to make a motion that we pass the, what are we calling it?
Drug and alcohol abuse policy.
Yeah. Drug and alcohol abuse program on first reading.
And
take it.
Yep. Go ahead.
Take it to a second reading with some possible modifications on the volunteer.
That's a great motion.
Thank you.
Second.
A motion by Nicole, seconded by Ben. Any further discussion or question? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous of those present. We'll move it to second reading then. Thank you, Beth, and I'll expect the two of you to be communicating. Okay, the amendment to the traffic ordinance, I'd like to have it tabled, and the rationale behind that is we have a couple of misspellings we need to get fixed, and we have a roadway that was not on that, so I'd rather just table it. It's not an emergency, so if you're okay with it, I'm okay with it. Is that okay?
Okay.
Move it to the next meeting. Okay. Ben, you okay with that, I'm assuming?
Yep.
Okay, thank you. Okay, department head reports. Jeffrey.
As Mr. Shoda indicated at Board of Works, the 205 project is ongoing with some challenges regarding relocation of utilities. We'll be working through the nuances of that tomorrow morning at their biweekly progress meeting. Also, all of you have one of these sheets in front of you. We had recently our steering meeting number 4, wasn't it, Mayor? Regarding the development of our comprehensive plan. Please, please pass the information out. We really want public input on the survey that can be accessed on this website. Additionally, Structure Point will be contacting Talk of the Town as well as posting mail, if they haven't already, to do press releases to get the word out. We really need feedback on these surveys. So, Ben, I know that you were talking about Rotary, any type of community gathering. Talk it up.
Jeff, if I can add in real quick, if you go to this Columbia City Comp Plan website, not only is there the survey, you can actually view the full comprehensive plan in and of itself, and I think it's really cool. It's really exciting. It's also really challenging, and so I'm excited to see what the survey results are. Even if I would say, even if you're not a city resident, I would still like, if you're a part of our Columbia City community, so Whitley County I would include, I think it would be good to get your input on this, because just because you don't live in the city doesn't mean you don't shop here, you don't play here, you don't use our parks, you don't do that kind of stuff. So.
And it is a work in progress.
Yes.
So when you hop on there, you'll see some blank pages that we're still working on. Mm-hmm. The entire process is about a 12 to 14 month process. We should have a finished living document by about September of this year. So, the Redevelopment Commission today gave authority to put out a request for proposals for the development of the former Eagles property. Pretty excited about that. That's been a long time coming. And then also they gave permission to solicit bids for the demolition of a building downtown. It's actually the building right out behind City Hall here. That's 213 West Van Buren Street. So those solicitations went out this afternoon. I didn't hesitate. That's it for me.
Questions of Jeff? Thank you, Jeff. I want to introduce our illustrious City Council President, fresh from a softball game.
I'm sorry.
The question is he mad or is he happy?
We're happy.
Hey, good. That's great.
Bottom of the seventh on two home runs.
Wow, excellent. Congratulations. Okay, Terry.
Well, they installed a new virtual server for the Park Department's new RecPro software, and I'm sure Marco explained to you what all that was capable of doing. We replaced two base radios in the dispatch center. MediaCom installed a new internet connection in the fire training room today to be used to access the state site during testing. We finished up our rewiring work in dispatch. We only got about three or four more ceiling tiles to put back in, and we're done with that. And installed two new desktop computers in the fire engineer's office. That's all I have.
Questions of Terry? Thank you, Terry. Kelly?
We're still having the sweeper out as much as we can, trying to clean up debris from throughout the winter. Have been working at the cemetery a lot here the last couple weeks, trying to get graves fixed up and getting ready for mowing season in between rains. Finished our first month of limb pickup last week, first one of the year, and been working with Mick from the GIS trying to get information to locate a force main underneath 205. That company, I think it's Fox, is extending the gas main towards the Y on the north side of the road. I guess it'd be to Park Terrace Apartments. So, we're going to get the leaf machine out. Guess if they wanted to try to get that in the paper just to let everyone know. There's been a lot of people raking leaves out. Probably Monday or Tuesday of next week we'll probably make a round, try to get all those cleaned up. And
that will be the only time it's out until fall.
Yeah, we just
want to make sure that's clear. This is a special thing we're doing because we love our citizens, but it's not normal. So.
Right. And on that note, the leaf mulch has been ground and it is available to the public at the back of the park at their convenience. That's about it.
Questions of Kelly? Thank you, Kelly. Chief?
Last week we had handgun qualifications out at the state police range. It was very muddy out there. Guys came back just covered in mud, so I'm working with some state police guys, the sheriff, and with Kelly to come up with some ideas on how we can possibly improve that range. So we're going to be out there tomorrow looking at that to see what our options are. Next week we have TASER training and CPR and AED training next week. So we'll be busy doing those things. Saturday will be a long, busy day for us. We're going to do our physical agility and written testing for our new applicants. So we have 43 applicants that we'll be testing on Saturday. We'll start at the high school with the physical testing, and then we'll be in this room Saturday afternoon to do our written test. Spring break week was fairly busy for us. We had lots of things going on. Our crashes have picked up a little bit. So we're going to try to increase our presence in those areas that we've seen increase with traffic accidents. And we're investigating a couple of burglaries here in town. So hopefully we're making some headway with those. Hopefully we see an arrest soon. That's about it.
Questions of Tim? Thank you, Tim. Mark?
Quick update on Kids Dreamland. We have ordered the playground, and it's supposed to be here middle to the end of May. And a lot of people have asked about the expression swing. I guess people have seen it on Facebook, and it sounds as if we're going to be able to get one of those. So it would be kind of neat to have something like that down there. Our first high school softball game was tonight, so the park was crazy busy when I was down there. glad to hear that they got the win. That's great. Congratulations. And concession stand was going tonight for the first time, so it's kind of some new staff, and they did a great job tonight. The DNR is having a trout fishing derby this Saturday at 10 o'clock. They did this last year for the first time. They're going to stock it. Tommy Wayne, they don't want people to go down there until Saturday. But these trout will not survive in warm water. So as the water, the purpose of them is to put them in and then fish them out. So they have the fishing derby Saturday morning at 10. I really don't know too many other details except for we had to put barricades down there for them. But if you have any other details, contact DNR. They can help you out with those. But as far as I know, anybody can do that, not just kids. Opening day for baseball and softball is this April 25th, Saturday. Be a busy day again at the park. Several vendors down there selling food, and all the kids playing softball and baseball will be there. So it would be a neat day to start off our season. And then Terry mentioned real quickly, RecPro is a software company that something that I think is huge for our department. We'll be able to have this new software system that will completely change how we operate in our office, how we register people, how we handle memberships for, you know, the pool or whatever. People can register online, make their own profile and login information, and that will help us a lot. So it's the beginning stages of that. Requires some work from Terry to help with the server that he built for that, and then we have to go through our training this fall yet as a staff and how we're going to put everything together. So we'll take a lot of work and a lot of time, but it will be, I think, in the end, a really good thing for people to not have to come in to register. They can actually do it online and fill out everything there.
Thank you. Question to Mark.
What's the date of the Tin Caps game?
Hang
you
on.
Don't know.
I'll let you know. I got it on my calendar. I'll let you know.
Okay.
Any other questions to Mark? Thank you, Mark. Michael.
May 11th. I'd like to have the paper that we're going to be flushing hydrants that week all over town. And then also tomorrow morning at, I believe, 7 o'clock, we're going to be tapping the 6-inch water main just on the other side of the river tracks down here on Line Street for that new line to put into CNR plating.
Okay. Is that going to make any delays or closures or anything?
We had we'll probably have to close Wallace, but that's it. And we didn't slow them up on 205 or Klein Street.
Okay. Thank you. Question to Mike.
Mike, is that the whole week? Or?
Yeah, be a whole week.
Terry, you have that right. Okay, thank you. Okay, thank you. Michael.
Been working on getting ready for spring. The grass has really turned green in last week, so the guys been working at stations, working on planting, getting ready to start mowing. I'll probably start a little bit of that tomorrow. We groomed all the drives today and converted the tractor back over to a mower, so we'll be able to use that. We've ordered our parts for a clarifier, and I asked for a better ship date than what they were giving me, and hopefully they were patched up. We're supposed to have them done and shipped by May 8th, so hopefully we'll get them. Shortly after that, and get that put back together. As I mentioned before, we'll be working on training. Told people that their certifications will be due to be renewed by June 30th of this year, so I put in a couple training requests today.
They're in your box.
Okay. I'll pick those up tomorrow. And so we'll get their CU hours in so they can renew their licenses. And that's pretty much what we've been working on right now.
Question to Mike. Okay, thank you, Mike. Marcia?
Nothing.
Rosie?
Nothing.
Jackie?
Nothing.
Quick question, Tim.
Yes.
What day are the Quessy kids coming in? Do you remember?
Pretty sure it's Thursday.
Okay.
I have it on my calendar.
Martha didn't put that on my calendar. Okay.
Is this Thursday? Thursday the 16th, this Thursday.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
That's an all-day event.
Okay, I'm going to need to reschedule the PowerPoint with Gina then. Tomorrow I have youth council. The plan is that we will be working midweek meal out at the Methodist Church, and then we'll be going to the Humane Shelter to do some service work out there as well. So tomorrow is a full day of service, and then Mayor's and Commissioner's Caucus tomorrow afternoon. I'll also be in Indianapolis on Friday, just for your information, for a legislative committee meeting. I'm proud to say, or happy to say at least, that Senate Bill 330, which is the annexation bill, was amended to be much better for cities. It's not as disastrous as it once was. Thank you. It wasn't as disastrous as it once was. And then as I come back from that meeting, I'm going to stop and I have a meeting at NDOT in Fort Wayne to talk about the Main Street repaving that will happen next year. But in conjunction with that, how our municipal utilities can prepare for that and make sure that as they come through, if they're going to rip up the street, maybe we can rip it up ahead of time and fix some things while we're at it. And try to make sure we have that that prepared in such a way. Tim, did you say Saturday is the agility test?
Yes.
Okay, I apologize. I missed that. And next week, next Friday, we are hosting the Mayor's Roundtable at the Eagle's Nest. Cerruti's is now out there, and I think they're going to do a great job. But we'll be hosting mayors from around, well, really from across the northern portion of Indiana, as well as associate members of the roundtable. So if you've not responded to Martha, she's out this week, but you need to do so, or let me know. That'd be great. And have a lot of really good stuff happening, expansions and job creation and trails, all kinds of fun stuff. So it's the best part of the time of year because everybody gets busy, and it's good because that means progress. So I'm good. Dan?
I apologize when I get here.
That's okay.
A lot of crazy stuff was happening down at the Ball Diamonds this evening. But anyways, I have so much respect for each one of you guys being in Scouts and doing what you're doing, because I had the privilege of doing that as well growing up, and I stayed in it from 8 years old all the way up to 18, and I was fortunate enough to get my Eagle Award as well. So, you know, I have a lot of respect for you. You know, you don't know how much that means when you put that on a job application, okay? You know, put that stuff on job applications when you get older, because it really, truly does mean something. Mm-hmm. Yep. Keep it up.
Okay. Thank you. Ben?
Nothing.
Nicole?
Nothing.
Press? Okay. And anybody in the audience? Questions, comments, concerns? And if not, I'll be around afterwards, too. Okay. We'll call the meeting adjourned. Thank you, everybody. Congratulations.